doesn't sound like the usual mindless, boring, getting to know you chit chat. This sounds like you actually have something to say.
Well, maybe.
Why are we having these conversations? What the hell am I doing here?
Now,
hello there.
Hi, everybody.
I'm slowly getting better at it. What was I going to talk to you about first? Oh, yeah, I was going to say to you, I saw you live before we met before.
Where was that?
That was in the Bedford during the pandemic.
Oh, socially distanced
comedy. Yeah, there was you, Laura Lex, Rich Hall.
Yes.
And it was inspirational, Carl. It was, that really was, though, man, because it was the first time seeing someone. You know, like in your head, you've got this, what you think comedy is man up there doing these jokes.
Yeah.
It was just like, you were just a guy just having a chat, and I was like, this is nice.
Yeah, I'm quite good at that.
How'd you do that?
That's
style. That's why I've got you here.
My style is people will watch it and go, even I could do that. It's not written any jokes. He's just talking at an audience. Yeah. And somehow I was getting paid for it.
Yeah.
That's my sort of selling point.
But that's what you want. You want to get lost in it, don't you? You don't want to feel like it's that feeling like someone's telling you. You don't want to feel like someone's telling you jokes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
I do like to try and make it feel like I've wandered on, had a chat, and then that's it. Let's see you later.
Yeah.
I don't want it to feel like here's a joke.
Yeah.
Right, and here's my... I never ever say, right, I'll leave you with this. So many comedians do that. I'll leave you with this, or one more thing. Or they open with a little bit about myself.
Yeah.
Well, cool. It's all about you fuckhead. Yeah, yeah.
The classic is, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
It's saying about... There's a thing as well where... Like someone does it about their clothes. You chose to wear that.
Yeah.
It's not like a thing. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I know what you're thinking.
I will say, even I was guilty of that when I was new, having I know what you're thinking.
I still do it.
Yeah.
And I'm slagging it off.
I'm trying to think. I had some decent lookalikes for one period of my, when I started, I had big hair.
Yeah.
And I had tinted glasses.
I think I've seen this.
And that was genuinely how I looked. That wasn't a comedy thing. And then that had some funny little lookalikes. But then when I decided to sort of grow up, I cut my hair short and got normal like black rimmed glasses.
Yeah.
Because I've got curly hair. I looked exactly like Rolf Harris, like as a young Rolf Harris. And like, to the point where people would shout it. So I had to open with like...
Is this pre... Was this when Rolf Harris was good?
This was... I think it was around the time... No, it was probably just pre it all coming out.
Right.
And then the joke became quite edgy.
Got better, yeah. Like, punched it up a bit, that.
Really gave it a different tone. So I had to open with like, I know what you're thinking. Rob Harris is looking well.
Oh yeah,
or something like that. I don't know. But but then I've not had another one of those since I sort of changed my look to. I'm look more normal now. I don't really have a look alike.
Do you have things that you hate? Like when you watch comedians go and you go, I hate them when they do that.
I've loads of things I hate. Yeah. The list is longer than things I like.
I just want to know, so I don't do it. Basically,
I don't like comedians sitting down on stage.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Some people can just about get away with it, but a lot of if somebody sits organically on stage for like during a bit or something, they get into it fine. But comedians come out and sit on a stool and be like, "Hey, I'm just going to tell some bits." It's like,
stand
up then.
Yeah,
20 minutes long, you lazy bastard.
What's your view on leaning? The leaning on the wall.
I don't mind a bit of leaning. Yeah, I don't mind how you stand, but I just do think stand-up comedy, when somebody sits down, I'm instantly like, this is going to be shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Even if it's Dave Chappelle, I don't care how great or big they are. If you sit down, I'm not going to enjoy it.
And also, I don't like cool comedians.
I don't really like cool comedians.
I don't want you to be cool. I want you to be a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That's what I laugh at. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I've often had this conversation. Like, I know at the minute a lot of people do lionize all the big Americans who are quite cool, the Chappelles.
Yeah.
And I'm not having a go at Chappelle. And yeah, I know he's what a great comedian that. But in terms of styles that I like, I would rather watch Tim Vine like do silly one-liners and play games and try and fucking throw a pen behind his ear. You know, just I like seeing grown-ups be silly.
Yeah.
But I'd much rather watch that than somebody being quite cool and sitting down and talking about big issues.
Yeah, 100%.
Come on.
I hate the big issue anywhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want a lesson. I'm not coming here for a... Oh, bloody hell. I always think this as well, like, because I always think in an audience, because I've got a brother, and I always think, there's my brother in the audience sometimes, and my brother doesn't know long words.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
You're pitching it to him.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? You think, he just sits there with this. I've taken it to gigs before, and I love it when someone is doing a bit about politics or something. Yeah, I'd like watching my brother just confused. he's not getting these words.
Do you know what I mean? It is a funny one, isn't it? I don't mind when people can sneak a bit of a, like a bit of a thought or something into a funny joke.
Yeah.
But I do think that should be the point. The joke should come first, and then if you can make it about something else, that's great. But I don't think the point should ever be the main crux of that joke. You know what I mean?
I know, because I've said it before. Some comedians have, you know, they want to be funny, but they're also trying to tell you how clever they are.
Yes.
That's their, there's
shouldn't be clever. No. I think the funniest...
Act's more stupid.
Oh yeah, I like to pretend to be the dumbest person in the room, despite being the cleverest. Never let them know how really smart. I'm not really smart. I was about to say never let them know how really smart you are, which is like,
it's a rubbish sentence.
I don't like comedians who wear their intelligence heavily.
Yeah,
because obviously most comedians are relatively clever because you've got to have some level of intelligence to write joke and write material. But I don't think you should ever let them know that. The audience are meant to think you're a clown.
Well, I actually talk on stage quite a bit about being uneducated. And it's like I'm boastful of it.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I won't go through the whole bit, but the idea of the bit is, you know, people who are more intelligent, they just know more, don't they? So they got more to get pissed off about.
Yeah, that is
true. Do you know what I mean? They just don't feel, and like, the bit is like, I can't get annoyed about the deficit.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I'd rather,
be like that. Sort of social and current affairs. Like, I stay out, like, I don't inform myself on purpose. Yeah. You know when everyone's arguing about trans rights or something? Yeah. I actively just won't read anything about it.
No.
So that I don't even have an... It's not that I'm trying to avoid an opinion. It's just like, it feels like a Pandora's box. Everyone I know is into, like, current affairs. They're always annoyed or upset about stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm just always just like...
Yeah, exactly. I don't watch the news purposely, because I remember the last time I watched the news was when Russia, the whole Russia stuff kicked off. And I remember just watching the news and they went, the Russians have got Chernobyl. And I was like, and I was like, I don't even know why that's scary. It's just like, two bad words.
I didn't know Ukraine was next to Russia.
Yeah.
Who knew?
It's like, then I sort of dissected it and I thought, that is bad guys are in a place where there was a disaster. I don't know if you could have said there are paedophiles on the Titanic. I don't know how it makes a difference.
Have you ever listened to any Patrice O'Neill stand up?
I haven't. No.
He's one of my favourite. Like of the like, he died a few years ago, but like he was an American comedian.
Yeah,
but so funny, and he used to have a great routine about how, like, do you ever watch some like horrific world event on the news? And like he talked about the, what was that tsunami that killed loads of people in Sri Lanka and everything. Oh, yeah. And he said, sometimes you watch that on the news and you're just like, I just can't care. It's too far away. Yeah. And like, I just don't care, man. Yeah. Why? How can you expect me to care?
Yeah.
And it's sort of true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes you sort of like, I've got a daughter and, you know, I'm busy.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think, I don't watch the news. So I was like, I ain't got room to give a fuck.
Exactly the same. And I think like, sometimes I worry a bit if, like, a little bit something wrong with me. Because, like, I find out bad news, something bad will happen, and my head will go, I'm hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I allowed to think this? Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's,
yeah. I do think, I suppose people expect everyone to react like they do. Everyone wants you to react like they would or they do.
Yeah,
you know, like I sort of, my dad passed away 2.5 months ago, and I'm fine about it because he was old and ill, and I was ready for it. But I feel weird explaining to people I'm not grieving.
Yeah,
I did it. You know what I mean, I did it initially, and I'd sort of had 2 years build up. Yeah. But like, so I think people expect you to be like, no, but you know, it will come.
Yeah,
and
you're
like, no, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it won't. You know, I had a big cry the night he died, and then I'm all right now. I've just dealt with it, and like, I'm not holding anything down. But people just want you to they want you to validate how they would react or they did react.
You're bang on. I had this recently with my mum. I went for a separation, right?
Right.
And my mum would sort of, but it's like mum sometimes want it. They're like, you're right.
Yeah, so
I'm just at the shops
at
the moment. Jay, like,
that's not it. I suppose it's that modern age of mental health discussions. Yeah. Everyone thinks everything has to be way bigger than it is.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to wallow in it. You don't have to be sort of sad all the time.
Because that's a funny subject, isn't it? The mental health. What's the slogan? It's like, it's okay not to be okay. Yeah. Who said it's...
Yeah. You better be okay. That's what it used to be.
Yeah, it's like, it's not a new idea, is it?
You better not be not okay.
Yeah. It never used to be okay not to be okay.
Yeah, it's that thing. Yeah. It was something that never really... I know, like, yeah, it's probably a bit better nowadays in terms of you can discuss it. But I also think there was something to be said for not always discussing it. You know, there's something to be said for a bit of stoicism sometimes. Of, you know, I don't think it was that end of the world in the old days. Sometimes if, you know, you were a guy and you were holding something together and like your job was stressful, just going out in the car, just having a little cry and then getting on with your life.
Yeah.
I don't think you needed to constantly wallow in it and talk about it and talk about your feelings. I think sometimes actually a little bit of bottled up stuff is necessary to function as a human being.
Yeah, because you shouldn't need the therapist to go, fucking get over it, mate.
I had a therapist do that.
Oh, really?
Absolute 100% true, this story. I went through a divorce 10 years ago, and we'd been together for years, and it was really hard. I was really depressed, and I was on tablets, and I was doing therapy, and I was really wallowing it, and sort of like I kept obsessing about like how I've ruined everything. And I saw one therapist, and she was rubbish. She just literally sat there and listened, and then at the end of each session, I'd be like, right, see you next week. And I was like, but we didn't do anything. I just talked. That was her style. And then I met this other therapist, and she was so good. Like, she sort of lured me into a full sense of security over the first week by doing a bit of that, listening and not really challenging me. And over a couple of weeks, she got to know me, and she was really interesting as well. She was like, she'd travelled loads, and she was just really cool, like, sort of early... maybe late 50s, early 60s, quite a cool woman. Like, I really sort of felt quite intimidated by her. She was very intelligent.
Yeah.
And then like on about week three, I was just wallowing in like guilt and shame and all this stuff that I had. And she basically just said, you know what you should do is grow up. And I was like, what? And she goes, I've listened now for 3 weeks. I've not said it. But basically, she goes, all you're doing is in this cycle of you want to be absolved of your sins by your ex. You want your ex to call you and say, it's fine. And she's like, you're not going to get that. It's never going to happen. So you're stuck in a cycle. What you need to do is grow up and accept you messed up and now just try and move on with your life. And I was like, all right, you know, if you're going to be like that, I'll love you will.
I love sort of like the idea of sort of like putting a book, oh, for fuck's sake. I've got to say it.
Yeah, you wet wipe. But no, it was so good because it was almost like a thing of like hearing a professional tell you that you've caught yourself in this cycle by wanting to be forgiven.
Yeah.
But if you keep waiting for forgiveness, you'll never get it. But actually, if you sort of just start working with everything else and put that away for a bit, it might come one day, but don't hold on to that as the goal. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah. The moment she said that to me, I was like, that was the beginning of when I sort of got over my problems.
It's nice when you have the moment. Because I did it recently, a bit of therapy, because of the breakup and stuff. And it's good, isn't it? Because sometimes you just think, I'm just talking here, this ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
they
come up with like a little bit of an answer or something, or they show you, shine a light, and you go, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does work, do you know what I mean? But there is the thing though, isn't it, of like, I think this sometimes, you do have to pay them. So if you think back the amount of sessions and you're going, I'm completely cured now. They probably a bit of them have to go, remember life still is a bit shit. You're not.
I'm always here. But that was another thing this woman, this Diane, this therapist did. After we honestly only did about a couple of months together. And then after that, we had some really like good sessions of going through it. And then after about 2 months, she went, I think we should call it a day. I was like, what? She went, yeah, I think we've gone as far as we can go. And I think you can do the rest on your own. And she just sort of told me to stop seeing her because she thought I could do the rest. And I was like, I didn't know therapists do this.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
She was great. That's good.
It's good because that means that the job comes
that
first.
That should be the goal.
Yeah.
But yeah, the one I saw before her, I felt like she would just have me going every week and just talking about what I've been up to that week. And then she'd be like, all right, cool, then let's see each other next week again. And you pay me for the privilege.
They have to be paid, don't they? I think this was an advert the other day. It was like, we just want the best. It's like a funeral advert. We just want the best for you, for your funeral. Hey, do it for free then. You want the money is what you want. Do you know what I mean? Like, they make it all sound like that. But
So my dad's funeral was mid-August. And I did all the planning. Like, my brother doesn't get involved in any of the family affairs. And I went to see the funeral directors and I had the meeting about what we want and all that. And she was very nice. She was a bit like, she didn't look like a funeral director. She was probably like early 30s. She had like blue, gothy type hair. She was a bit sort of hipstery. And part of me was like, I sort of wanted a, you know, a earnest geezer. They used to be just
really
like...
tall one.
Yeah, tall. We're really sorry about your loss, Mr. Donnelly. You know, quite a somber guy. But she was like the new wave, I suppose. But sort of, and we did everything. And she said, like, I had to fill out some forms. And on it said occupation. And I wrote comedian. And she was like, are you a comedian? I was like, yeah, I do a bit of stand-up. And I thought that was the end of it. About a week later, I was doing two nights at the Soho Theatre, and I walked out on stage on the first night, and she was sat in the second row with her partner, just watching the show. And I genuinely, in my head, was like, I don't know if this is all right.
Yeah, weird.
You know what I mean?
Came to see you.
Yeah, she'd sort of Googled me after we'd done this sort of funeral planning and thought, oh, he's doing a show.
You have weird relationships with therapists, funeral director.
I know.
you're really scrambling it up a little bit.
She was really nice. I'm not judged, but for some reason I felt like that was a weird, overstepping at the time. I don't care now. I genuinely don't. It was nice that she came. Yeah. But at the time, I remember thinking, like, I was doing stuff about, like, the funeral planning on stage and my dad dying. And she was just sat there. I was like, this is a bit too raw for you to be here. You know what I mean?
That's what it's like with them hipster funeral directors
now. New way.
They do that.
They come and hang out with you in your real life.
A funeral director slash barbers. They got a bar, coffee machine.
I did. I was in Deptford in Southeast London walking. This was about 4 years ago. And I saw a window with loads of like cool, like old antique furniture in. I was like, oh, this looks nice. I'll go in. It must be an antique furniture shop. And I walked in. It was a barber's. It was like a hipster barber's that had loads of antique furniture. I was like, oh, sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Wandered out. It's all got too trendy.
They try to do that, didn't they? What did I see earlier? This morning, I saw a van. And you get like a Simon van. And you usually, you know, builder or whatever.
Yeah.
Swimming lessons.
Just swim. Why do you need in the back.
Why do you need a van? Like, in his name. You got a van for that?
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it?
Fucking mad.
How's it with the little one? How old's what's it? Twyla, is it?
Twyla, yes. Twyla, yeah. She's 2 1/4.
How's that?
It's lovely. Yeah. Like, it's really good. Like, I sort of do... Like, my wife works 3 days a week, so that's when it's like I'm on full day dad duty. So she's not gone to nursery yet.
Right.
Just because we don't really need to. Like, I'm around all the days. My wife works from home, so, like, you know, even if I have to nip out for a few hours or something, she's fine with it. But
expensive as well.
Yeah, there is that as well. Yeah. Although this week I did take her to an induction, sounds weird. It was like a play group, but it was at a Steiner school. Do you know anything about Steiner schools?
No.
Oh, it's like hippie. Like, you know, Montessori. Like, Montessori is like sort of the middle, you know, it's all like sort of, what's the word? Like, it's, you know, it's not a play group where you're all just smashing Lego around. Right, it's sort of slightly guided, educational, wooden toys type affair.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, middle class people thinking, I don't want my child playing with those sorts of things. And so Montessori is one, but Steiner is like next level. You know, this is fucking... It was really hippie and it was very nice, but I took her for like 2 hours to this session, and it was me and all the other mums, and it was all very gentle, like sort of singing and playing with little wooden things and leaves, and it's all sort of very natural. And I was hungover as well. I'd been at a wedding reception the night before, so like it was me and loads of like hippie mums and their kids and Twyla, and like I was just trying to hold it together so hard to be like this sort of, hey guys, this is really lovely
just
and gentle.
Just farting.
Going and vomiting in the toilets and stuff. And, but yeah, it was. I mean, it was nice, but it was like, it's that thing of like, I'm a hippie at heart.
Yeah.
But also, I'm sort of, it clashes against my upbringing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I find myself sometimes being a bit cynical about it, even though I'm well aware I think it's the right thing.
I get into spiritual type stuff and I think, yeah, I like that. But then I think, like, oh, that shirt's nice.
Yeah, that's really expensive.
Do you know what I mean? Like, all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can never just be wearing, like, hemp.
Yeah.
And just,
that's
do you know what I mean? Because I like nice things as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't go full hippie, I don't think.
Well, that's it. I think it's a working class thing for me. Like, I grew up, you know, I know I want to be a full hippie, but I judge myself for it when I do it.
Yeah.
It's almost like I can hear my dad going, "Well, you fucking weary." You know what I mean? You can't sort of get it out of your head.
Yeah.
I think if you're like, yeah, I'd love to be a full-on, you know, bloody tie-dye.
Yeah.
Dreadlocks.
Quite nice, though, of being into it and then not looking. Like sometimes I was chatting to Rich Wilson.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was really surprised at how much I knew about sort of like the spiritual side of it. I don't look like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I'll on stage, I'll never really talk about like shagging or nothing, because people look at you and they expect one thing, and it's nice to give it like not be what they expect.
Definitely. Yeah, I used to get, not so much now, it's more mainstream, but I used to get the whole you don't look like a vegan thing.
Yeah.
Back in the day, like 10 years ago, when I think people just assumed vegans were all, you know, crusties.
Yeah.
Whereas I wasn't. So I think people assumed that, oh, you can't, I didn't know you were vegan.
Yeah, yeah.
You're wearing shoes. You've got jeans on.
Do you do like meditation and that sort of stuff then?
I've sort of fallen out of habit.
But it's good though, isn't it? It's good. It's weird, isn't it? You know it's good.
Yeah.
I
still do it to a certain degree, but like I don't have a sort of meditation practice. I've gone through phases in my life where I've got up and done it, and you know, I'll put a bit of a window aside for it. Now I do it much more on the move. So I'll put I even did some actually before this. I did a podcast earlier and I went out for a wander down by the river. And I just put my headphones in, put some meditation music on, just walk for about 20 minutes.
I love that meditation music.
And yeah, so just I often do it like that. I'll do a sort of a walking meditation, or I'll get on the tube and just put some sort of very low level meditation music, and not guided meditation, just the sort of the base of like, you know, a baseline of noise.
Exactly what I do. I used to use it for creativity as well. I used to when I first started doing, challenge myself to do a sketch every single day.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to, they call it, what's it like, binaural beats.
Binaural beats. Yeah, I used to love a bit of binaural beats.
And you get it for different things, don't you? You do it for creativity and all that. And I don't know if it might have just been bollocks, but it seemed to work for me.
Right.
And I'd just sit there in the morning, do a bit of meditation, put that on, and I'd write a sketch. Something would come up.
Yeah,
it always
worked.
And I just got into the habit of doing it.
Well, it's that thing of a little bit of distraction almost, I reckon, isn't it? Like some people need to work in total silence, but a lot of people need a bit of distraction. But anything that you can actually, anything that's got words or whatever just catches your attention too much. It's about having just that little bed of noise that frees you up a bit.
Do you sit down to write?
No, not really. Yeah, well, I write on the go as well. I tend to have to, I think I have to be just walking around to get my brain flowing.
So you don't have all of my best stuff just falls into my head.
Well, that's it.
And I can't make it happen. I'm just sort of sit around waiting for it to happen.
That's it. Most of my stuff comes at a slightly annoying time. Often when I'm about to fall asleep, I'll think of something, I'll have to roll over and put it in my phone. And then I just put notes in my phone constantly on the move, or I write in a little book. And then about once a week or something, I'll sit down and move them onto a Word document and start looking at where they'd fit in a set or a route or a show. So yeah, it's more like that. It's more a sort of an admin process, but I don't sit and write jokes laptop thinking, oh, this is a good joke.
I don't write anything. I just can't. I'm not like that.
Nah.
It's in my head somewhere.
It just stays
there. But it's that's the thing. That's always like the when you're doing the sketches, I'll get a point where I think, you know, when something's good, you get a feeling, and if I sit down and think, right, I'm gonna write a sketch sometimes, I think they do all right. There's always that, it feels a bit contrived, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? It just needs to happen, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you do get a sense of it, the longer you do it as well. It's like with stand-up, when you're new writing stand-up, everything just is a total case of I don't know if that's going to work or not.
Yeah.
The longer you do stand-up, the more you get a sense of, that'll work, I probably just need to work out how to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very rare now I'll do a new bit and it just totally flops.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'm quite good now. They don't even make it to the stage if I've sort of... I'll write it in my phone, and then when I'm looking at it, I'll just be like, that's not going to fly. It won't work in my voice, or it won't work. I know I won't be able to say it right.
Yeah.
So my sort of filter process has got much better as I've gone on. So now I know everything that goes on stage, it might not end up making it fully, but I'll know at least it'll be all right, and then I'll decide if it's got legs to go further. So that's all, your instinct just gets better as you do it.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's because I'm still early on, I'm still finding what is... I think something funny in my head and I'll say it. I think that's just not... It'd probably be better for someone else.
Mm.
That type of thing, innit? It's not like, that would never work for me, that bit. Do you know what I mean?
It's like a one-liner or something. Sometimes I think of one-liners. I can't say a one-liner on stage.
Sell it.
I'd be mad if I just stopped after a 10-minute story about shower gels and then went, instead of one-liner. People think I've lost
my mind. Sit down and do it.
Yeah. so good.
I know what you're thinking.
I'll ask him for a drink from the stage. That's another one that annoys me about comedians. Sorry, I just remembered that. Yeah. Like a comedian sitting on a stool and be like, can I get a drink?
Oh, I've never seen that.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's an old school thing. You don't really see it anymore. It used to be quite common. When I started, I caught the end of like, when I started in the mid-2000s, and that was, I caught the end of like the 90s comedy scene.
Right.
As that was fading out and there was a new wave coming through. And a lot of them were sort of the cool drinking, you know, can I get a beer? It's like, shut up. No, wait till you've finished your job and then get a beer. Like everyone else has to.
You're at the back of the room complaining. This is not good enough. Sick of this. How are you finding parenting and comedy and all that though? Is it all right?
Yeah, it is all right. Although the only thing I've struggled with is the guilt of going out in the evenings. Yeah. I do definitely still have a bit of that. You know, like, bye.
Yeah,
because I sort of miss bedtime. So yeah. I do sort of, but that's the only thing really. You do get less time to write during the day. I definitely there's times when I just can't even check my phone for 7 hours, basically.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, it does slightly cut your, you just got to be a bit more economical with your writing time, be a bit more, when you get a window, use it.
Yeah.
But I've not struggled to write new material since she was born or anything. I don't feel like my productivity's gone massively down. But yeah, my want to go out and gig every night is gone.
Yeah, you seem to really like fatherhood, don't you?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
really love it.
This sounds probably like wank, but it's true, right? They are inspirational. So, you know, when you're in your head going, oh, fucking life, fucking, and they're just, my boy the other day, I just watched him, he was eating cereal, and then he went, oh, there's a bird outside.
Yeah.
I just got up and just looked out the window, just watched the bird.
Yeah.
I was like, that's amazing. Do you know what I mean?
That sort of lust for life. I love it. Like me and my daughter went out yesterday for a wander. We ended up in Tooting Market. We walked past a pet shop, and obviously, like, on a moral level, it doesn't sit well with me, a pet shop with all birds in cages and that. Yeah. But you know, she's a toddler, innit? So she just sees birds and fish. She doesn't see it like as a prison for birds or fish. So we just went in and she just loved it. We were looking at all the birds and all the fish and all that. We were in there for about half an hour.
Yeah.
And then we went home, whatever. And she's her sleeping pattern's a bit off at the minute. I think she's going through that phase of stopping napping in the day. And she slept in the bed with us last night. And this morning she literally woke up, sat up, turned to my wife and went, we saw budgies yesterday. That was her first thing she thought of when she woke up in the day. And I was like, oh, fuck, imagine that. It's like, what an exciting thing that logged in her brain that, fuck, I saw budgies that you're still thinking about it the next day.
Remember them budgies?
Yeah. Like, she just couldn't, she sat up, we saw budgies. I was like, fucking, that is so nice.
It's their energy as well, though. Like, I woke up early that morning and I told myself, I'm gonna boil an egg. I thought about it for a while and then went, I can't bother. Right? And then my little girl was doing cartwheels. I can't bother to boil a fucking egg. I was like, I might do that in a bit. Stand up, put an egg in a salt. But no, they really are inspirational, I think. And I do this thing now where I make sure if we go for a dog walk or whatever, leave my phone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Even
when you are like... I remember doing this. I felt horrible afterwards. As my baby was born, I thought, I'm going to get a photo of this.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was holding a 20-minute old baby. And I sort of I was all in on my phone and I felt like the nurse looking at me like, what are you doing, you dickhead? Just look at your child. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember that feeling of, oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I have it way low all the time. Like, you know, because when it's me and her, I try not to be on my phone at all. I just don't want her to see me on it, really. But now and again, like, you know, there's times when I've got to do something and, like, you know, me and her, we'll watch Hey Dougie or something and I catch myself just doing something on my phone.
Yeah.
And I suddenly feel like, oh, just like...
Dirty.
Even if I just put it away and we're both watching Hey Dougie, at least we're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I often have moments of that when I'm like, you... wanker.
Oh, at least someone else does feel like that. Fucking hell. Right, should we get into them questions? So I'm really conscious. I'm making like burping sounds internally.
What have you eaten today?
A fry up, didn't I?
Oh, yes. That'll repeat.
I hope it's not coming out on the microphone. Right, let's get into some questions, Carl. Have you ever been arrested?
I've never been taken to the police station. I've been accosted by the police a few times, and I once got chased, full on police chase, like not in a car, but on foot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. and I was wearing rollerblades at the time. And I think I was about 15, 14. I went through a phase of rollerblade, but then like we, you know, it was just skating, innit? But now
is rollerblading faster than running?
Well, as you'll learn, it was up to a point. I was pretty decent. I used to be quite decent at skating, and me and my mates, we were 15. We were at one of my mates' houses, and my mate used to have like a caravan in his back garden. And his parents like were totally just, you do whatever you want to do in that caravan. Oh. So we were all like just smoking weed and like we were just absolutely off our face. And we decided to go to the all-night garage to get some snacks. And it was probably, I don't know, 11:30 or something at night on a Friday or Saturday. And then there was five of us went to the garage. It's probably like a 15-minute walk. And I just chucked my skates on. I thought, so my four of my mates were on foot. I was on skates. And we went down to the garage just through the city. Yeah, it's a residential area. And we got out to this main road and a police car went past us like that. And we watched it and we're like, we're not up to anything. We left the weed back at the caravan. We're fine. And they went down the road and we just watched it suddenly just double back like that. And for some reason, we're paranoid as shit, innit? And yeah. So we just went, fucking just go. Just get out of here. So we just dusted out of there. So we all sort of scattered as well. And a police car just sort of lights on, sort of chasing us. And then pulled up, two police officers jumped out. One started chasing a couple of my mates down a road. The other one just came after me because I was on skates. And we had this proper, like, sort of, I'd say, 5 to 7 minute chase, like, and going down all these roads. And then I just turned down this road and I turned onto a gravel path,
oh, no.
Which is impossible to skate on. And he basically just caught and just, he full on rugby tackled me.
Yeah.
And we like flew over onto a grass verge and he got me up and like held me up against the wall. And then the other police officer had caught two of my other mates and he walked them like sort of around back to walked back towards the car. And then basically just put up against a wall and it was all like, what are you up to? Apparently there'd been like some vandalism in the area, which we hadn't done.
Yeah.
And they questioned us and we got a bit of shit for a bit, but then they let us go.
It's got the image because rollerblading is quite elegant.
Yeah.
It's like just gliding away.
He was fast though. Like, it was a proper long chase though.
Yeah.
It was fucking exciting as well.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it was once getting rugby tackled is quite excited by a police officer. It's in like a weird way.
You always do that. It's like we used to try and get chased. Do you know what I mean? You'd go, if you go over there, there's always a bloke on an allotment.
Yeah.
Chasing you off. Go over there and say this word, call him that, and he'll chase you off.
One of the scariest chases I was ever involved in was similar area. We were just walking around and it's so naughty, isn't it? We just walked over a car. We just saw a car and we're like, let's walk over the car.
Yeah.
And like we're probably 13, so you know, big enough to do a bit of damage. And so we're all just, like six of us took a stroll over a bloke's car. No idea that he's looking out his window at the time. So he came out, he was massive. Oh, you fucking little shit. So we just ran and he just came after us, man. And it was so scary because you're like, if he catches us, we're dead, man.
Yeah.
And we ended up like running through loads of alleys. And I remember just hiding behind a bush, just like, you know, so scared.
Yeah.
And we could see him like up, just looking around for us. And we all got away. But oh, it was one of them like proper heart in your mouth moments.
I think it is a working class thing of being like, your intention is, how can I be a little fucker?
Yeah.
What can I do to just like piss? I'm going to egg someone. That's the mentality of it.
I feel really guilty about some of the stuff like the vandalism and things I did when I was a kid. It was horrible.
Not cool, man.
I remember we walked past, somebody had done such a lovely Christmas display outside their house.
Yeah.
It looked gorgeous, like loads of lights. There was like a grotto and there was like a life-size Santa Claus sat on a rocking chair. Beautiful. And we went, let's nick Santa, right? And again, I feel terrible about it. And we just grabbed it and ran. And we didn't realise it was made out of like tissue paper and like, cotton wool.
Oh, right, yeah.
So we just ran. My mate grabbed it and ran off. And the legs were there with the wellies. So I grabbed the legs and the wellies. And we're just running. We left a trail of cotton wool for about a mile back to his sister's house that we ran to. And then we literally had to run out and just sort of clean it. Like, we were cleaning up the trail that left us, like led them back to us. But I remember, like, thinking about that years later and being like, oh, what a horrible thing to do.
Yeah.
But it was just that mindless teenage anger.
It happened yesterday. I was walking to the gym. Because I find teenagers scary, like 13-year-olds, because they'd obviously nicked like a load of donuts or something, right? And they were just launching them at people, right? I mean, that sounds fun.
It's funny.
But I was just thinking, please don't throw a donut at me, because you have to, you want to stand up for yourself. I'm not going to fight with a 13-year-old.
It's a hard one, isn't it? Because I knew what I was like then.
Yeah.
So I can't judge them for their behaviour, because I did it.
Yeah.
But also I know that if they throw one, I'm going to have to sort of threaten them.
And it's that thing, you know, the thing of like chasing someone, don't know what to do when you get there.
Yeah.
Type thing. You're going to punch a 13-year-old
kid. Yeah.
But you've got to do something. And I think them age kids, they know it. It's like playing chicken, isn't it? Like, come
Definitely.
On then.
What are you going to do? Yeah. I don't know if I might have talked about it on a podcast at some point, but I had it on a bus going to Croydon. And I mean, I was probably 30 at the time. And there was three teenagers, like 13, 14. They were at the back of the top deck. And I sort of was sat halfway back. And they'd got, you know, did you ever do that thing where you got McDonald's straws and you chewed up the thing like that? Yeah. They were doing that on the top deck. And they were literally just hitting people who were all just sat there scared.
It's the anxiety, though, of you.
Yeah. So I sat down in my head. I was like at the moment I sat down, I could feel something was going down. And I just saw, like, I could hear, and I saw something like one of them hit somebody. And this, like, you know, this quite twee person just, like, didn't look round. And I just thought, I'm going to have to nip it in the bud before I take one. Do you know what I mean? I thought, I'm going to get ahead of the news. So I just turned around to them and went, look, whatever, do what you want to do, but if one of them hits me, you're in trouble, like that. And I turned back, and in my head, you know, inside, I was like, you know, like I've sort of fronted it out, I've gone big. And then they carried on hitting people. And then one of them zinged past my ear, and I thought, I've got to give them another secondary warning. And I went, seriously, man, that one was nearly hit me, so just fucking watch it. Turn back, and then they hit a few more people, and then one of them hit me. And I was like, you can't give two warnings and then not do something.
So I'm going to get off this bus now. Watch me go.
I'm going to go home and be upset about this for 2 weeks. Watch. I'm going to tell people on a podcast in 10 years. Yeah? I think I'm going to forget this. I got up and I didn't know what I was going to do. I just thought, I'm just going to go down there and see the lay of the land. And I got down there and the three of them were like sort of looking at me, and one of them had his phone in his hand. So I grabbed his phone out of his hand, opened the bus window, and I went like that to throw it out. And he almost cried. He's like, no, blah, 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 blah. And I went, what? He goes, no, please don't throw my phone out the window. And I was like, mate, I told you not to hit me in the head with that fucking thing. You just hit. And he's so apologetic. And I sort of just, I threw his phone back at him, went, if another one hits me, mate, that fucking phone's going out the window. And they were all like, all right.
I'm a bit scared of you now.
And I went back and sat down. And in my head, I was just like, yes.
I'm actually really attracted to you, right?
I was so excited. Just scaring a kid.
You know, was not.
Ultimately, I just scared a child. Yeah. But, you know.
But then that's also, it's like, cool people just do that and just move on with their life. If that was me, I'd go, never guess what I did earlier. Yeah. Did you just say McDonald's straw? No. Well, anyway, I've got a story about that. but it's horrible having to get involved.
It is scary, but I think you do have to just, you know, ultimately they know they are teenagers and you're an adult. I think they realise there is a slight power, you know, difference, but like you've got to just go big.
Yeah,
that's the only thing they'll know. You know what I mean? You've got to just say no. This ain't happening.
Yeah, obviously, I think I would have fucked that up. I would have pretended. It would hit me in the back of the head. I would have pretended that I didn't feel it. just
the thing. My hair is thick.
It's horrible not having to get involved. Have you ever been like out with a mate and your mate is being the dickhead?
Oh, so many times.
Getting into a fight and then you've got to fight for your mate, and you think, but you deserve to get beaten up. I don't know why I'm helping you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the worst thing. Yeah, you know.
I'm on the other bloke's side, but I'm going to have to punch him.
Yeah. Oh, great. I've got to beat someone up. I respect that. I respect more than you.
Yeah.
It's horrible, isn't it? I've got a couple of mates who used to be really naughty and like they'd always get us in trouble.
It's when they're more pissed than you as well, isn't it? And then you think, this is going to end bad.
Yeah.
You
know, when you're apologising to somebody on behalf of a friend, you feel like, why can't I just ditch them?
Yeah.
Well, you're the obnoxious group on public transport. Mm. That's horrible. You know, you're embarrassed about your mate. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everyone's looking. Do you know what I mean? You're like, oh.
I know. But it does mean I don't judge anyone really for their behaviour. Like, not, I mean, within reason. But when there's just a loud group or chat, a bit of a laddie group, you know, I'm always like, I can't judge them because I've been that.
Yeah. It's like with people as well. When you get there's a group of lads just having a laugh and then someone looks at you and goes, Like, I'm not on your side.
Fuck off.
If you're just being
a bit loud, I'm like, well, they're just having a laugh. They're mates. Like, as long as they're not, like, infringing on others, like, physically, like, you know, doing anything actually to upset anyone. If they're just being loud, I'll never judge anyone, really.
I actually prefer that than I was sitting on the train earlier with this girl on the phone and her conversation was so fucking boring. it was offending me. I'd rather two piss blokes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? At least it's a bit funny. Do you know what I mean?
I find that, like, I really hate talking on the phone. I've never liked it my whole life.
She's like, he shouldn't be disrespecting you like that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's how our conversation was constantly going. Shut up.
But at least that feels like it's about something. The amount of times I'll be sat on a train or something, somebody's talking on the phone, but it sounds like they're just like stream of consciousness. So then tomorrow, then I've got to go and do the shopping. And they're just talking. You're like, what? Who is listening at the other end of that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just telling them all the information about you currently.
Yeah.
It's like, I've never understood that. I'm a real economical phone. Like, even when I'm away gigging, you know, FaceTime my wife, and it is, you know, let's get this chat done quickly.
Yeah, I don't like phone conversations at all. No. I've realised this. I'm an in-person, I'm an analogue guy. not digital guy.
Acoustic.
Yeah. it's much better though, isn't it? Like, I rarely have a good phone chat or a. Texting. I'm rubbish at texting.
Yeah.
Do you do voice notes? Are you a voice note guy?
I mean, one WhatsApp group where there's a lot of voice notes.
It's easier, I think.
It is easier, but it's got more room for pitfalls. I don't know. I sent a voice note to the wrong group once where I talked about people in that group.
Oi!
Yeah, it was literally the worst moment of my life like that I can remember.
You slagging them?
Yeah. It was an NCT group, and I sent a message to my mates that we do what, like, we have a little laugh on the voice notes.
Yeah.
And I sent a message about my NCT group I was like, literally sort of like, oh God, all these NCT parents. And I sent it to the NCT group instead. And then one of the dads called me laughing his head off, like, mate, you've sent that to us. And I had to just go and delete it, and I've never found out how many of them heard it.
Because you could have started going, oh, just a joke.
You know what I'm like, comedian.
I mean, me and my dad used to know this bloke who used to live around. I used to live with my dad, and there was a bloke around. And he just, one of them sort of lonely men, right? He was into like, talked about his cars and guns, right? And because he lived in his own, his name is Carl. We used to call him Wanking Carl, right? Because he was just imagine, some guy who just looks like he loves wanking, you know what I mean? My dad texts me saying, oh, I'm sitting, he used to pop round, and I come around and talk about guns for a bit with my dad. My dad texts me saying, I'm sitting in next to Wanking Carl talking about cars and guns. Sent it to Wanking Carl, sitting next to him.
Right, it's the end of the world.
He didn't know his name was Wanking Carl. He revealed everything.
Oh, no. Horrible.
Oh, that is horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is dangerous. But I like the voice note. I think it's what annoys me.
Although, just before, like, in terms of voice notes, the one downside to voice notes is if it's going back and forth, fine. If you don't check your phone for a few hours and there's been a voice note, you know, and there's like, sometimes there's like 40 minutes of it, and it's like, I didn't listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I do think they're there more than anything. If I miss a bit of it, I'm never going back. It's like, that is lost in the ether.
Yeah.
So I think it can be a bit intrusive sometimes.
And it's also, you'll do this weird thing, you'll be texting someone, and then you think, I'm going to send a voice note. And they weirdly feel obliged to send a voice note.
Of course, yeah.
And it's like a level up in a relationship. Yeah, we're voice note buddies now.
You feel well rude if somebody sends you like a 2-minute voice note, loads of information, like, yeah, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Thumbs up. Yeah. but yeah, you know, people do they just talk on loudspeaker.
Oh my God.
What's that about?
Loads of people do it, but it's not even like, there's no rhyme nor reason to who.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you see like an older lady just walking down the street with it like that. What are they? I don't understand surely you can hear better if you've got it there.
Yeah. I don't understand.
I don't understand.
My brother does this thing where he'll go, so I'll be in the car with him and he'll receive a call for his intercom in the car, and he'll say something like, I'll call him and goes, I'll just let you know, I'm with John.
Yeah.
He's like, why? That makes it sound like I'm about to slag him off.
Like, oh, not fucking John.
Like, he makes a
usual. I'll call you back later, mate. Yeah. This is about John.
Wanking John.
Not pedo John.
He warns people like I'm about to slag him off. Don't do that. I wasn't going to slag him off. I was going to slag him off, but don't let him know that.
It is. I've done that with like in cars with comedians driving to a gig, and there's three of you, and like someone will call you, and you're like, you have to sort of go, we're driving to the gig. There's a few of us.
Yeah.
Because you know if it's comedians, they'll slag. They will actually slag them off. So.
Yeah, it's awkward. It is awkward. Right, let's get another question. What should we do? Ever been caught shagging?
I've never been caught in the act of shagging. I've been caught in the aftermath. Like, well, that sounds even worse.
That sounds. I was like, you're up to something.
No, I was at a party once, and me and a lady ended up squirreling ourselves off.
Okay.
And we ended up in a walk-in wardrobe. It was in a hotel. It was like a sort of suite of a hotel. It was quite a swanky party.
Yeah.
And we found ourselves in this big walk-in wardrobe, and we were in there for a bit, and then when there was no one else in that room when we went in there, and we didn't hear anyone come in, but by the time we came out of the wardrobe, there was it was actually quite grotty. We burst out of the wardrobe, and there was three people doing coke on a bed. And like we just imagine that they'd probably been in there for 10 minutes. Yeah. Suddenly, two people walk out of a wardrobe. They're just like coked up. They must have been so confused about what had just happened.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was like that was the closest I've ever been to being caught.
That's not proper caught then.
No, I've never been caught physically in the act. But I've never really, that was only one of two occasions I've ever got into it publicly in a public place, or not a public place, but a sort of semi.
You mentioned
place.
Before, you don't embarrass easy, do you?
I don't think so. No, I'm quite. I get into. I've always been quite. You know, embarrassing. I don't think. I didn't find that particularly embarrassing. We were both up to something, innit? Them. They were doing coke in a bedroom.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were coming out of a wardrobe. It's not. It's not like anyone's gonna go. Oi, that's disgusting. You know what I mean?
That's fine.
We're all in the shit. We were in the gutter at that point.
Yeah. I was at Notting Hill. Carnival once, and they got the big like, toilets all lined up, toilets, right? And I walked in, I opened it, and this woman just had her tits out, right? And I went, oh, sorry. And I closed it off, what are you doing?
Get him out to have a dump.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the toilet and get my tits out.
That's what my mate Daniel used to, whenever he went to public toilets, he'd often do it knowing that one of us might be coming in, like if one of us mentioned, I need to go to the toilet, he'd run off to the toilet before us so that he'd go to the urinal next to loads of people and he'd go full schoolboy piss. So he'd pull his trousers and pants down to his ankles. So you'd walk in, he'd be standing next to loads of people with just his bum out.
That is funny.
And it is funny. But it was such a funny sight in a Wetherspoons to walk into that.
I keep mentioning my brother today, but we dared him to do it so it looked like he was having shit in a urinal. So I'd walk in, he'd have like a newspaper. Mate, you're right.
Oh god,
that's the level we've got to now on this podcast. Shitting.
But no, I've never been caught shagging. Only twice have I ever even been in a situation where I could be caught shagging.
Yeah. So not being embarrassed at that, is that something like, because you know you're quite a spiritual guy. Is that, have you always been a bit like that though? Or
well, no, I mean, in terms of, I do get embarrassed, but I think it's that thing of I find it funny when I'm embarrassing. I can always see the funny side of it and be like, especially as a comedian, you're like, well, this will end up being a funny routine, won't it?
Yeah.
You know, so I think I'm quite, I sort of revel almost in it a bit.
Yeah.
Knowing that this is good value.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I'm not somebody like who will do something embarrassing and then ruminate on it and like be like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, like some people would do something embarrassing and still think about it all the time.
That's
like,
me. Oh, that's good. I'll just go.
I'll do that about things I've said to somebody, but not an embarrassing thing, just something that's a bit cringy.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, you came across as something like an absolute wanker there.
Yeah. My ones are just, I edited a video the other day with because Ishan Akbar was on, and I just got one of the words wrong on the poster. It just killed me.
Oh,
I just,
no.
I just, there was a, can't remember what the question, but yeah, just the one of the subtitles was wrong. I went, they just stuck with me for a bit. I don't know.
It's weird. No, I don't have that. I'm quite good at letting things go. Yeah. Just being like, well, it happened. Let it be.
As you, because I say you're quite a chilled Zen bloke. But yes. Then you mentioned before about, like, you know, when you were going therapy and all that. Have you chilled out later on in life? Or have you always been pretty chilled?
I've always been chilled, but I'd also have a lot. I'd go through phases where a lot was going on inside. But externally, I think I've always been quite chilled. My nature is quite chilled, yeah. And I'm relaxed and like. But I've also gone through phases of being a bit manic and a bit mad.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, but in terms, I definitely am more chilled in the last decade since going through that stuff. Yeah. So I think I was always had a nice level of my behaviour was chilled, but then underneath, and I'd have moments where it was a bit manic. But now I've got rid of all that. It's all chilled. Really.
That's good, man.
It is. It's nice.
How, like, did you ever like react differently to like drugs? Do you ever have that thing where like some people like they can do drugs or drink and it's not a problem? Do you know what I mean? Or it's
no. I mean, I not like I've never lost my mind on drugs. Like, you know, some people I know have. I did loads of hallucinogens and stuff and things, and I've never had a bad experience.
I'm the same as that, yeah. So I like it. I just really like it.
Yeah, I always felt it was really fun.
Yeah.
But like, and I've never been somebody who gets aggressive on other ones. I've always been quite, I get probably what you should get out of them.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I've got my mate, I won't say his name, but we, on my first stag do, he'd never tried MDMA before.
Yeah.
And like a few of us were on it and we were all just like fucking loved up and hugging each other. And he just took, like, he'd never tried it. He did, like, a big old bomb of it and just sat there waiting to see what happened. And then it kicked in. He went, oh, all right, I'm off to bed. I just went to bed. It made him just want to go to sleep.
That's weird, isn't it? I think that's the thing. Like, sorry. With drugs. Like, I can't smoke weed because people smoke weed because it relaxes their mind. And that's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
My mind just starts going, I start thinking, my voice sounds weird. Yeah, you know, stuff.
What's that, more eyebrows I'm moving around?
Yes.
I smoked a lot of weed in my teens, and that was fine, I think, because when you're a teen, you don't really know what's going on. But like, any time I've smoked it in adulthood, like, I'd binned it off because I just preferred drinking and things like that. And I didn't like that getting monged out feeling.
Yeah.
But any time I've smoked weed in adulthood, I've just not really enjoyed it. It's made me a bit too insular and a bit too like.
Yeah.
Low. I find it. I don't enjoy that feeling.
Yeah.
The effect doesn't. I like things that are, you know, and I say this as somebody who's now so boring and middle aged, but, you know, when I used to do semi regular, you know, drugs and drink a lot, like, you know, I always preferred something that was up or alternative mind state.
Yeah.
Something a bit out of the ordinary, whereas, you know, if you just want to chill out and stuff, I can do that myself by watching telly.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same as that. I was thinking, like, you know, because I know loads of mates who smoke weed, they come in from work, they have a joint, and it gets them, you know, level, they get back on level, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for me, annoyingly, mine is, I'd like a pint.
Yeah.
Pint gives me that feeling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where I feel definitely. Like I'm a little bit happier now. Yeah. More chilled out now, do you know what I mean? That's my go-to, really, do you know what I mean?
I did go through a phase of really getting into painkillers.
Oh, really?
But like sort of prescription painkillers.
Yeah.
They're pretty, but they're almost a bit hallucinogenic, like tramadols and things like that. This was years ago, I'm talking now. Like, I'm not glorifying it or advising, but yeah, like things like prescription painkillers that are like opiates can be quite sort of, you know.
Like, I've never, like, because some addictions I can understand. Like, so I think I understand alcoholism. I can understand why you'd want to do that all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But like, he's like coke addicts. I don't get that. I can't understand that. Do you know what I mean?
That's like, why would you want to be like that all the time?
Yeah, like, I used to like, do it on building sites and all that. It's like, why are you doing that? Like,
I know people that have done it, like had that thing of doing it at work, at lunch, and like,
it's like party time, isn't it?
Yeah,
you've got to separate the two.
And also, like, it is one of them things that it should be a rarity that is a little, you know, I always thought of coke as, you know, I know some people think about it as a much bigger thing than it is, like, you know, like they think it's some sort of celebrity drug, even though it's now one of the most widely used things in the country. But like, I always thought of it as a naughty little, you know, you'd be on a night out and somebody suddenly had some, you're like, suddenly you're in a toilet cubicle and you're like, this is so naughty. Yeah. And it always felt quite exciting and, like dirty and weird.
Yeah.
So, but doing it regularly.
Yeah, at work.
Like, I and again, this is very, this is ages ago. Only I've been through probably one period of my life where I think I used it too much. And it was, again, it was in that phase when I was going through a divorce and I was all a bit of a fuck up. And, you know, I probably, yeah, I definitely got into the habit of doing it all the time. Yeah. But I couldn't have a pint without getting on the gear.
Go hand in hand, didn't
they? And that, it became this thing of like, yeah, I didn't, I'd almost be planning it before I got my first pint because I knew it was going to be the case.
Yeah.
And that suddenly, it almost ruined drinking for me because I couldn't separate them and like,
That's the habit. That's the habit, isn't it? That's what it's the thing. But doing it when you're sober is the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, and I only ever did that a few times.
That's horrible. You go mute.
Yeah, and you...
do it with your mates. You just sit around just not talking to each other or like feeling weird.
I did it once, and again, this is grim, but like I remember in that period of time when I was a bit... I went a bit off the rails probably for about a year maybe, and I remember getting to an airport and I'd been on it like, you know, the couple of days before, and I got to the airport in the morning, like 7 a.m. and I just thought, I was still probably hanging and like drunk, but I thought I better just check I've not got any left on me before I go through security. And I had quite a lot left on me. And I can't throw it away.
Yeah.
I don't want to stuff it up my bumhole.
Yeah.
So I just went into a toilet cubicle before going through security and I just did the lock. Like, and I've never been on a flight. This was like, by the time I got on a flight, it was 7:30 a.m. And I'm just next to someone, just like, yes. And like, you know, just sit next to a sweaty nutter on a plane doing coke who's just been on the gear in the toilets at the airport. It was horrendous. I mean, that was like probably coming towards the end of that period where I was like, I need to knock this on the head. Yeah. This isn't healthy.
Yeah, no.
It shouldn't be. But I remember ordering like a Bloody Mary because I just needed something to take the edge off, essentially. I was buzzing on a flight, and yeah, it was the best Bloody Mary I've ever had. It's one of them drinks I now logged as like the most delicious things. It was so necessary, and I remember it just took the edge off, and I was like, all right, I think I'm gonna survive this flight and not have a heart attack.
You are the bloke you don't want to sit next to.
Oh, God.
I was that on the way
just back. Chatting to you, all right, mate, how you doing? Where are you going?
I was that guy on the way back from Edinburgh because I woke up and I just started getting pissed early. I was and on the train, you know, I kept getting up to get more cans.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Just, I was that bloke.
Yeah,
I was, you don't want to sit next to that bloke. Big, smelly, beery,
chatty. All right, where are you going?
Yeah, I was that guy. But I've just in the time. I'll wrap it up, I think.
Cool.
Follow Carl.
Yes.
Carl Donnelly. Is it at Carl Donnelly?
At Carl Donnelly on the social media.
Oh, is it just at Carl Donnelly? You've got that handle.
Early doors, yeah.
Oh, nice, mate.
And the podcast, listen to mine and Julian Dean's.
TV, do you know what? I love that podcast.
Oh, cheers,
and thank you, because that helped during the pandemic. It was like checking in with, like, even though I never met you, it was like my mates. Yeah. I like listening to these two.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah, so check out TVI, definitely.
Cheers.
All right. Nice one, Carl. Thank you.
Cheers, mate.